so far.
It's like Love Talk Radio.
To you live from Bowie, Maryland. Yes, I am. If you want to get in touch with me, it's 347-945-6713. You'll be talking to Norm Direct, or you can go to the chat room, which has got one guest in it right now. And if you just want to leave the chat room messages, I'll be glad to reply to the audience. I got a little late start tonight. A lot of different things going on. I'm a little stunned by a few of them. But what I want to talk about is going over the fiscal cliff and what exactly it means for all of us. It is a real interesting situation that we're going to have to deal with. First of all, what does going over the cliff mean? I don't know. If you know, give me a call, 347-945-6713. First thing it means is taxes are going to go up for everybody. Taxes going up, that means more revenue coming into the government. More revenue coming into the government, that means that we're going to be able to take care of our business without borrowing as much money. It also means that there's going to be draconian cuts across the board. And there's going to be a lot of them in defense, and people don't want that to happen. Well, you know, maybe it's time that that happened. I mean, who are we defending ourselves against? Why do we have to have all those troops in Afghanistan and be spending all those millions of dollars every month to keep that presence there? There's absolutely no cause or reason for it. If you disagree, 347-945 6713 is the number. I thought all of these things were decided during the general election. I mean, Barack Obama, he got one of his phased withdrawals, all combat troops out in 2014. That's two more years. I could be approaching my 65th birthday by then. Medicare, if it's there, because with all these cuts, who knows? I may not even have Medicare. Wouldn't that be horrible? I don't know what's going on. What do you say, 13265? Are you out there listening? Why don't you give us a call, 347-945-6713. I'm not sure we shouldn't just go over the cliff. We can't agree to anything. Let's go over the cliff. Let's see what happens. If it's a disaster, it can always be fixed. Let's give it a try. What do you say out there, audience? I say we give it a try. I don't see why not. Oh, gosh, I've been on over 10 minutes already. And I'm only just now starting to get my headache. I don't know. I had a very hard day today at school. I'm going to have a very hard day tomorrow. I don't know what's coming out of any of this. I'm just, my head is pounding. I don't know. I really don't feel like doing this tonight. So somebody give me a call and we'll get together and talk about it. 347-945-6713. What's going on besides the cuts? Well, I don't know. Let's see what the Washington Post has to say. North Korea is flaming rockets again. Hot dog. A bad thing happened in Michigan today. Unions are being beat to poop again. Anything to push down wages. Yeah, we'll bring the jobs back to America as long as you can make, as long as you can get the wages down. You know, why should there be any middle in America? Why shouldn't all the people who make all the stuff, why should they be able to have unions? Why should they be able to have closed shops? Why should there be any unity among the workers? I sure don't know who would want to live in a state with right-to-work laws. I'd want to work in a state that's organized. Have you got something to say about it? 347-945-6713 is another. And, oh, gosh, I'd better get my Twitter feed open, too. It seems Pope Benedict the 16th got on Twitter today. At least that's what the headline in the Post says. I'm not signed into Twitter. I'll have to sign in. At N. Constantine, if you want to put me on your Twitter feed, I sure would like that. I'm trying to talk a little faster. You know, I was listening to myself the other day on a tape, and it really was pretty pathetic. And I don't really want to do that anymore. What is my password in Twitter? I think this is it. No, that's not it. Oh, God. There we go. Now I should be signed into my Twitter feed. Yes, I am. And I don't know if anything good is going on here. Oh, God, you know, the first thing on my Twitter feed, why Hillary Clinton would be strong in 2016. Somebody give me a break. We're not even at the end of the first term yet, and the guy's going to start another one. Please save me. Oh, the Dalai Lama's on Twitter. That's pretty interesting. I find that happy, funny. Um, Hey, somebody says to me on Twitter, there's only so much I can do with a set of screwdrivers, a pair of pliers, and WD-40. I heard a screwdriver and WD-40, you can fix almost anything. Oh, God, people are talking about their... another person I follow says, just finished making a cheesy cauliflower casserole. I don't see too much more. North Korea, they launched another rocket. Howdy doody. DC Debbie. God, haven't heard from her in a long time. A Portland mall shooting. 3 dead. The president calls Syrian opposition legit, yet I heard this morning or this afternoon coming home on the news that the most effective fighting force in the opposition could be Al-Qaeda. Oh, God, a lot of people doing this Zumba stuff. In fact, there's a teacher at school doing Zumba. Here's something. Oh, this is like big news from Joan Young. Well, one thing I know is that students really develop their writing voice through blogging and conversing with their audience. Well, duh! And so we got to get people audiences. Of that, there's no question. I got a lot of good tweets here tonight. Oh, B. Carson. People who exercise are more active at work. Oh, another brain twizzler. Lincoln, according to Huffington Post, is going to be a critic's choice movie. Oh, let's find out what the top trends are for e-learning here. I'll just click. Have you ever had your own crystal ball? Holy macro, yes. Okay. Apps take over the world. Well, they're sure taking over my telephone. So I don't know about taking over the world, but everything's going with apps. Everything's going to handheld, and we're going over the fiscal cliff. I better check back with my... I still only got one guest. I got no calls coming in. I sure would like a call. 347-945-6713. And let's see. E-learning will be more agile. No more top-down learning dictatorship. That would be nice. That would really be nice. But I hope it happens, though. I don't know. I'm starting to get worried about that. Oh, that's all there were. 3 big things. No more top-down dictatorship, learning more agile, and apps take over the world. That's a reasonable idea, reasonable thing to say. I've been saying it for 15 years, but that's okay. Oh, we hear something from Roger Shank. U.S. school children lag Asian peers on academic tests. Oh, my God, what should we do? You tell them, Roger, those tests don't mean poop. Oh, Al Sharpton's got to let us know he's at the White House Christmas party with the president and the first lady. You're so far up the president's butt, Al, he won't be able to find you. But that's okay. They're putting Rush in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's something from my Platt World people, Judy Lynn Oh, a documentary, a short documentary. How many of you have made a documentary out there? I have a splitting headache, and I just have no idea how I'm going to get these presentations ready to go. I don't know if your home warranty covers storm doors. It's Scott McCloud. I haven't heard much from him. Host your own student film festival. Now, that's a great idea. I'm going to go read this article. Let me get my screen up to a size I can read it on. Interesting. It's just a book about how to have a student film festival. One good thing about the cliff is that the president and John Boehner are actually meeting face-to-face of late. I guess he took $10 million and $1 billion anyway that was spent on this past election, you know, to realize that, you know, maybe the Speaker of the House and the President should get together now and then. Here's somebody claiming that they better sit RG3 on Sunday. It's the right call. Oh, I hope the Browns beat the hell out of him, whether he's in or not in. I'm so sick of hearing about RG3. The Bullets are losing again. A salute to Ben Nelson. That's the guy that caused all the friction with the Affordable Care Act when we took what many people thought was a bribe. Who's going to replace Jim DeMint? Who cares? It'll just be another God bless a Republican. The Bills lose another one. Oh, well. There's some Sudokus, the state of Northern Virginia. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, my head is splitting. I better get out of here. Let's see if anybody's trying to give me a call. Hey, I got a caller here. Sorry, I was... go ahead, 916. You're on with Norm.
Yeah, I was listening.
Yeah, I got on a roll there.
So I hear you have a headache, huh?
Man, it's a splitter. It's been with me this morning.
Yeah, wow.
And it's not even caused by anything. I just woke up with it.
Yeah, wow. I can't remember the last time I had one. It's been a long time.
The other day. Actually, it feels like my head is just stuffed, sinuses or something.
Oh, okay. So you're all worried about the fiscal cliff?
Oh, I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah.
I think it might be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm watching the markets, and they don't seem to be panicking at all, you know. But we'll see what happens. I mean, the only thing I've got to compare it to would be the TARP vote in the House. when they turned it down the first time, the first vote.
Is that true? I don't remember that.
Yeah, then they approved it on the second vote, but the first round, the Dow dropped. It was the biggest drop in history, 776, 77 vote points, I forget. It was big. They cost the country trillions of dollars.
No, but that is all just so untrue.
No, it isn't untrue. When your stock goes down, you lose money. What's so difficult about that?
You don't have the money.
I don't know. I mean, my broker gives me my statements, and it's all measured in dollars.
But it's all just paper poop.
Oh, for God's sake. And what do you think money is? I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's not in your hand, and even if the paper is in your hand, that doesn't mean anything either.
You can't lose the money unless you sell it.
Okay. Let's say I had stock in Evergreen Solar and I kept the stock. What would it be worth? Or Solyndra.
But you didn't.
Or Beacon Energy or any other of Obama's projects.
That's like saying you lose. Wait a minute. That's like saying you lose money when you buy a hot dog and eat it.
Well, oh, come on. You got value for it. You're going to stay alive for another day.
Money, you buy something, and you
anyway,
eat.
You're
gone.
You're going way off topic here. You want to talk about the cliff or not?
Topic.
Yeah, you're debating the nature of currency. And, you know, currency can be shiny rocks or seashells. I don't care what it is. We have all agreed that this has value, and that's all that counts.
But the fact of the matter is, even if you turn everything, you can't lose what isn't real.
Oh, Jesus. It's as real as anything else you've got. Is the internet real? Are your friends on the internet real? I don't know. Have met most of them.
I don't know.
There you go. Okay.
All this nonsense, you know, all this money we lost with the big storm.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Let's say you're a pensioner. Let's say, I don't know, CalPERS or whatever pension fund you have. And for the most part, your pension fund is comprised of bonds and stocks. And let's say you do have a prolonged recession or depression, whatever. You know, those checks might not come. And when you can't buy groceries, guess what? That money is real now, huh?
No, they can just send you a check. It doesn't matter.
They have to sell stocks to get the money to send you the check. But now the stocks are worthless. They had value at one time. Now they're worth 50% of what they were. But anyway, that is what happened. Let's get back to the cliff, Norm. Let's stick to the topic. You pick the topic. Let's talk about it.
I don't have any problem talking about the topic.
Well, you keep drifting off into whatever, money and you know, that's abstract, okay?
That's what the cliff is all about.
Well, let's deal with just practical, realistic things. What happens when let's see what happens if we go over the cliff, or as I like to call it, falling off the fiscal bar stool.
Falling off
which is a little more accurate, I think. So, you've got a lot of things that are going to happen here. Aside from the tax hikes, you know, the Bush tax hikes, we've got a lot of other things to consider. There's the payroll holiday, which is the Social Security 2% that they have not been charging for working people. And we have, we have the AMT. Now that has to be adjusted, or else a whole bunch of people are going to get hit with the alternative minimum tax. Nobody's even talking about that one.
Okay, how about this?
How about unemployment insurance?
How about this? The United States simply announces tomorrow they're not paying any interest on the debt.
Yeah. And then what happens?
All the money we pay on interest, we simply bring down the deficit with.
Oh, really? But no, what else is going to happen? See, there's one significant thing that's going to happen if we would do that.
And what is that?
We would cease to be the fiat currency.
We would what?
We would not be the fiat currency. We would not be the currency that all the central banks in the world are holding. Our debt would be our debt would collapse. The value of our bonds, the value of our money, it'd be an absolute disaster. And the euro, the euro would probably be the strongest currency in the world.
See, I'm not sure that would happen.
Yes, it would. It's called a credit event. It's a default.
I didn't say we're going to pay the cap. We're going to pay the principal back.
People didn't buy it to get the principal back. I buy bonds because I want to make some money.
Well, then you're going to have to go out and work.
No. I'm going to buy bonds that are good, and I'm going to get rid of your bonds.
No, I wouldn't.
Why would I want your bonds? They don't pay any interest. They're worthless.
So don't buy them.
But let's say I already own them.
Well, you're going to get your principal back.
Well, and where's that money coming from? You're just going to have to print worthless money. $16 trillion will have to be printed and given to people. Well, you may not have to print it, but still. Oh, Norm, that's a crazy scenario. It's not even a... it's just not even a possibility.
It's a new paradigm.
Well, that's not a... That's Armageddon. I don't know how else to describe it. You know, that's the stuff that, science fiction movies are made of. So, all right, want to get back to the real world?
Okay, the world is real.
Okay, so anyway, we've got, not just the Bush tax cuts, but we have numerous other things, all of which are going to have a significant effect on the economy. And mostly, the taxes are even higher than we think. You know, they're much higher than just the Bush tax cuts expiring. And there's all sorts of social things that are obviously going to die off, too. Also, credits for alternative energy, that's another one that dies. And so the thing is, let's say this does happen and everybody gets back from their, Christmas vacation, and then it's January. So the scenario now is that we start over. Now, I don't know that it works.
No, starting over, it's not a bad idea. Let's just default on the debt, call a constitutional convention, and start over.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, you know, that might have worked in, like, 1812 or whenever.
Might work in 2012, too.
No.
Yeah, what happened to the debt? We call the Constitution a convention and abolish the country.
Oh, God. Well, I don't know. It's a fictional, it's something.
Is it? It happened to the Soviet Union.
Well, yeah, but they never, they
Russia's
may have been a military power, but they were never an economic power.
Russia's still there.
Yeah, well, Russia's still there, but the Soviet Union is not still there.
Right, but all the people who were in the Soviet Union one day are still there. Putin was a KGB-er.
Yeah.
The same people are still running the place.
Right.
What changed?
And Poland is in the European Union and a
so
member of
what?
NATO. Things are a lot different.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's face it. The economy did collapse, but they bounced back rather quickly. And we've seen the same thing with Argentina, with Mexico, Canada in 1992. Countries do have these.
So what happens if we reduce our army to 100,000 men?
Well, we might be able to police Detroit.
But what would happen? Doesn't take too long to pay off $16 trillion.
Yeah.
With the money saved.
Well, a 100,000 man army is probably not sufficient for just for our defense. Cutting it in half is definitely a possibility, or something close to that.
Wait. Who's going to attack us?
Yeah, exactly.
The Russians going to come across Alaska?
No, I don't think very many people are going to come over, but I also think that you can't, you're still going to have to maintain some type of Navy and Air Force.
Why do we need a Navy?
How many fleets do we have now?
Four.
Okay, so do we need a fleet in the Mediterranean? No.
No?
Do we need a fleet in the South China Sea? Do we need a fleet in the Gulf?
No, we don't.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe we reduce it to one.
How about
And they patrol our waters, okay?
And they patrol the coast of the United States.
Yeah, well, that's
just like the old days.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese want to buy oil from the Arabs. Let them protect the Gulf.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll just send our ships over there.
Yeah, well.
Get oil.
That's how it used to be.
Why can't we do that?
I don't have a problem with it.
Reduce the army to 100,000 special forces.
Oh, good God. Well, look, it's going to, you're talking about the combined military.
Yeah, the Army, the Marines, yes,
100,000. Right. So, 100,000, come on now, that's just not enough. It's going to still have to have some size, but...
We had less than that at the start of World War II. I think we won that one.
Yeah, well, we hadn't been in a war for quite a while, too, so I
don't know about that. I think it was 22 years.
Yeah, but it's not as if, you got to remember, we after World War One, you know, we were fairly isolationist. I mean, that was the general spirit of the country. We wanted nothing to do with Europe. You know, we had some, you know, we did have a presence in Asia.
We didn't?
I said we did.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean the Philippines alone.
Speakers.
Okay. You know, the Philippines and what did we have? First in Manchuria. And trying to think where else. A few other islands out there. Yeah, those islands we stole from the Germans. Yeah. Well, you know, once we got into the oil thing with Japan, then it was pretty much assured that something was going to happen. So that's kind of an interesting point. I mean, with World War II, I mean, it started with, you know, we refused to sell oil to the Japanese anymore. That's kind of an interesting scenario building. And a lot of that has to do with our domestic production. And I was listening to Dennis Gardner, who's one of the top guys on commodities, and I get his newsletter. He's really good. He's thinking oil is just going to drop like a rock over the coming year.
And why is that?
A lot has to do with American production. And he's also considering, you know, that there'll be an economic slowdown. Or not even a slowdown, let's just say a flat line for a number of years. So he's looking at prices. He thinks the bottom of like $65 a barrel, which is not far. We're at 80-something right now, you know. So... But
what happens, we're the biggest producer in the world? We start selling oil for $10 a barrel.
Nobody in the United States produces oil. I think the average is like between $55, $60. That's the cheap. That's the cheapest one. And if you go to Canada, if you go to the...
Canada, they produce all that tar oil. That costs a fortune.
And that's even worse. That costs them between $70 and $80 a barrel.
Well, does it have to cost that?
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't.
It has to be refined before it can even go in a pipe. It doesn't just come out of the ground and off it goes to the market. No. So... they're just fortunate that there's enough cheap natural gas in the region that they can use that to, you know, do this pre-refining of the oil so that it can actually have the viscosity to move through a pipe.
Yeah, it's pretty thick stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, there's an incredible amount of it there, but it's very expensive to get to, so... And the other thing is kind of another point is that if we do, as they say, become a net exporter of both oil and natural gas, it's not likely to do a hell of a lot for the country as a whole. In other words, that's going to be exported, and... our prices are pretty much going to stay the same. This, you know, now we're getting a real break now on natural gas. You know, it's $3 and something, whereas historically it would be quite a bit more. But Europe and Japan pay five times what we pay. So you know,
just tell the producers, okay, heck with that. We'll give you $20 a barrel until you sell us this much. You can't export anything.
We don't have the ability to dictate like that. I don't know where you think.
Yeah, we do.
Well, not exactly. Because the big consumers now are, of course, China and India. And, you know, And you see what China's doing in Canada. Now, they just bought 3 oil companies, 3 large oil companies. And that oil is going to go right to British Columbia and on the tankers and straight to China. So, that's in addition to all the other ones they bought. They've been buying over the past decade.
I think Canada's largest trading partner could influence any decisions in that area.
Well, let's say this. If you don't give them the pipeline, the Keystone,
mm-hmm.
you don't give them a choice. They got to sell it to China now. That's how it is.
Uh-huh.
Well, they got to sell somebody. And the other is, see, that pipeline is not just for them. It's for all. It's for the Bakken shale fields in North and South Dakota. All that oil's got to move too. Right now, it goes by rail. You know.
So, nothing matter with the railroad.
Yeah, except that it's a lot more expensive than a pipe, you know? Yeah.
Maybe.
No, it's not a maybe. Come on, Norm.
Oh, it's getting to be a maybe.
How do you think Rockefeller made his money?
In steel.
Well, I'm talking Standard Oil.
I take that back.
Okay. Now when he was selling, well, we got to start with kerosene first, but when he was selling kerosene, it was all shipped by rail. And anyway, when the various Carnegie and J.P. Morgan were trying to shut him out of the business, and they had control of the railroads. So they more or less were cutting down his distribution. Either they charged him enormous rates, or they wouldn't let his stuff on at all. So he figured out the way oil gets from his wells to the refineries was all by pipe. And that's how things started. So he was able to develop a network of pipelines, which then cut the railroads out of the business. Yeah, it's a fascinating story. There's a series, I don't remember, must be the History Channel. But and they cover all of the major industrialists, you know, of the 19th to 20th century. Great stories. J.P. Morgan, Carnegie, Rockefeller, any of the big guys. But anyway, getting back to our cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say all of this, let's say nothing happens. Okay, I would expect, you know, the market to react. I don't know if it would be a, 700-point drop on the Dow or whatever, but it would be significant. And then January will come, and we'll see what we're going to do then. And this is the thing. It's like I think, if you look at, as far as what Obama wants, he gets what he wants. I mean, he gets everything by not negotiating. I mean, tons of revenue, the rich are being taxed the way he wants them to be taxed. And if he's serious about solving the deficit, he's got the money now, doesn't he?
Well, I'm absolutely in favor of restoring Clinton tax rates for everybody.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, there are things, let's say, there's like this total giveaway for, you know, the earned income credit. Now that doubled. I mean, from $500 to $1,000. I mean, that's ridiculous. There's no reason to be giving people money like that. These are people that, you know, may or may not work. I don't know. and then the unemployment benefits. Now that, you know, that I sort of take issue with because, you know, I realize that, you know, most of the people collecting that, you know, need it. They're day to day, I mean, or week to week with those checks. And that causes, you know, a little more grief than I think is worth. So, I mean, there are things that he's not going to have, you know, that affect his constituents. Let's say this money that they want for Hurricane Sandy, $60 billion. Where's that coming from? There's no fund anywhere. The money's not there. I mean, it really isn't there. And you saw what happened with the hurricane before that. Mm-hmm. Republicans made them cut other things to pay and it was only a few billion dollars. I forget what they cut. Oh no, they put fees on everybody's mortgage. That's right, I forgot about that. All new mortgages. I had to pay like an extra $12 a month or something. Still, you know, why make them pay for disaster relief? It doesn't make any damn sense at all. But that's what they did, and that's how they got the money. So, yeah, so I don't know how they'll deal with that. I don't know how much money Obama promised, but I suspect he's not going to get it. So, yeah. So let's look at, you know, two possibilities, you know, and I think will the Republicans stick to the same strategy they've used for the last 3 years? Just obstruct everything?
Why not?
Well, there's no indication, well, very little indication they're going to do anything other than that. I mean, you've got a few defectors here and there, but none that, you know, but until Boehner himself comes out with something, I don't know. So, anyway, the only thing you can do is kind of protect yourself. And so I would take a lighter position in equities. Well, there is, you know, one good thing, if you want to call it a good thing.
And what's that?
The Federal Reserve, you know, the Operation Twist will end, and then they'll switch back to basically what we call QE3. And so they'll be injecting whatever, $40 billion a month, and it's expected that within the next year and a half, their books will go as high as $4 trillion. Right now they're around $2.5 there, about, but that's the amount of money that is likely to be injected in the economy. And it's injected not in the way that, you know, they're going to keep buying mortgage-backed securities until there aren't any more. And then there's all this cash hanging around. It's got to go somewhere. I mean, that's essentially how it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be curious where the hell this money's going. A lot of it has gone into real estate, you know. One kind of interesting thing here, there's an investment group. They used to be called a hedge fund, but I think it's an investment group now called Blackstone. And they came
here. Those are the guys in Iraq.
No, not Blackstone, no. Blackstone's an investment group. They don't have
Right.
And you're thinking Blackwater.
Oh, Blackwater.
That's totally different. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Blackstone came to Sacramento and bought $60 million of single-family homes. Now, they bought them, depressed prices, and they're fixing them up, and they're going to rent them. And they will have local people here to take care of the management and all that. And they're going to do this. Their projection is that property values in Sacramento will be double in 5 years. Now, if they think that's going to happen here, I mean, it's got to be national as far as I'm concerned. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, because these are people that they're pretty bright. I mean, they do their homework. And, you know, I think they've overpaid for some of the property that they bought. You know. But they said they don't care. They said because everything's going to be double. And so there we are. Now, I don't know if they've done this in other parts of the country. I guess that's a possibility. So that, I think...
Well, all I know now is they got right-to-work laws in Michigan. The world has come to an end as far as...
Oh, no, that's not it. He liberated the workers.
No, he did not.
They're liberated. Now they don't have to worry
now
about...
Now they just made
the
them... Oppressive,
now the oppression
just
of union bosses is gone. That's
just
know.
Slaves again.
Yeah, so now they won't... See, so now... The independent worker won't be beaten up by union thugs, you know. That's a good thing.
I know. Us union guys, we're all thugs.
No, mafia, too.
Yeah, the union guys, they were the guys who were shooting people at Haymarket Square. The unions were the people who were shooting people at the Lowell textile strikes. Yeah.
Yep. And the unions were the guys on the New York Thruway shooting at all the independent truckers.
Steel strike. Oh, it was the unions, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And they built Las Vegas. Let's not forget that.
Yes, they did. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. We got about 2 minutes left, and the big... Final question, should Robert Griffin III play in the Browns game on Sunday?
I saw what happened to his leg, and I sure as hell would give him a rest. I think that would be, I think it would be criminal to make the guy play. Well, you can't make the guy play. I guess you can't, but, you know, they're trying to say it's a sprain, but did you see how far his leg moved sideways? I mean, I thought it was totally dislocated. It was just...
Yeah, I saw the play.
Yeah. No, I think you've got this guy who's worth a hell of a lot of money. He's extremely talented. Don't take a chance like that. Because who do they play, Baltimore?
Cleveland.
Cleveland,
they played Baltimore. They played Baltimore on Sunday. Cleveland's won 3 in a row.
Yeah, I know. They've improved all of a sudden.
I think it would serve the Redskins right to lose to the Browns.
Yeah, well, you know, they're worried about their, you know, their playoff hopes and what have you. But
so the consensus here is RG3 should sit this week. And we only got about 30 seconds, so we're going to leave it there. Thanks, everybody out there who's listening. And I will try to be more regular and get some ideas out during the week about what we're going to be talking about. Now I'm going to go have a cup of coffee, nurse my headache, and go to bed.
Coffee's
no
good for a headache.
I don't care. I'm having it. This is Norm coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland, and I'll be here next week. I'll talk to you later, big guy.
Okay, Norm, you take care of yourself. Hope you feel better.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
We're out.